And grace to you and peace in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't know about you, but I think the singing is really good tonight. Isn't that a good thing? By the way, if you don't go to church every week, we do this every Saturday and Sunday, right? So. But Merry Christmas to everyone. I'm so glad to see that you've included church as part of your Christmas celebration. It's a wonderful time when we celebrate the birth of the Savior. And I know you know that, but it's just a beautiful thing to remember that God promised a Savior, and so he what? He sent a Savior. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And so tonight what I want us to do is to hear some words, especially of Old Testament prophecy, because I think we know that we live in a world where we say Christmas is wonderful, and then other people will say to us, Christmas is for kids, right? And we sort of act like you're supposed to outgrow it, and you're supposed to become, you know, too intellectual for it or something like that, and we want to make sure that that's not true among us, right? So I first ask this, is predictive prophecy even possible? Yes, of course, that's the right church answer, right? Thank you. But I do want to say this, when I say prophecy, I mean future prediction of an event with specificity and accuracy, okay? Prophecy about a future event with specificity and accuracy. Here's what I don't mean. I don't mean fortune cookies. Right? When I say predictive prophecy, when I say accuracy, Renee and I went to lunch at Chinese, when was it? Today or yesterday?
Today,
that's right. My memory's not so good. That's why I write stuff down. But, you know, you open up your fortune cookie and what does it say? You're pretty and everybody likes you.
What did George say?
See, the beauty is I recognize voices, so we'll talk later. So I don't mean fortune cookies. I also don't mean horoscopes, because what does your horoscope say? It says, keep your eyes open for an amazing opportunity. What does that mean, right? Let's try the Bible out. We're not going to get good at Christmas yet, but I just want to mention an Old Testament prophet, Isaiah, in his 44th chapter, the last verse, and the 45th chapter, the first verse, two consecutive verses, both say Israel will fall, and the nation that conquers her will be conquered by a different nation, and that second nation will be governed by a man named Cyrus. Do you hear the specificity? Israel will fall and be conquered. Their conqueror will be conquered, and that will be led by a man whose name is Cyrus. That's a pretty good guess, isn't it? It's more than a guess. It's revelation. The Lord says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd. He shall fulfill my purpose. He's the one who will say of Jerusalem, she shall be built. Let me ask you this, just to bear in mind. So Isaiah said that 200 years before Cyrus was born. If America were to decline, who would the next great power be? Who would it be? China, right? It would be China. Let me ask you this. If China were to decline, who's the next great power? You see, we don't know. We can guess. Let me ask you this. If some of you that guessed India, in 200 years, when China declines and India rises, what will the name of the president be? Do you see what Isaiah did? Cyrus. I heard some guesses. I'm pretty sure I'm not banking on those. God himself revealed to Isaiah, this is how it will go. We want to know that tonight. We want to know that we are in the church of Jesus Christ because God said, here's my son. This is the plan. Isaiah did talk about the Messiah a lot. I want to mention several verses. I'm going to do some kind of quickly. I apologize for this if you're taking notes, but I'm going to have some that I call Isaiah's 9. Isaiah's 9 verses. Here they are. Isaiah 7:14. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son. And you know the name of the virgin. What is it?
Mary.
Isaiah 9:2. It was just read. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Where is Zebulun and Naphtali? Not everybody brought your map of Israel, did you? It's in Galilee. Isaiah 11:1, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. A stump is what happens when you cut down a tree, right? And Jesse is the father of David, the king. That prophecy says David's line will be cut off, but a shoot will rise up from the line of David. Isaiah 35:5, the ministry of the Messiah will be like this. The eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. What did Jesus do? And hear the specificity, right? Isaiah 40, verse 3, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Who is the voice crying out in the wilderness? John the Baptist. Isaiah 49:6, I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. That was a new revelation. Some of his people thought salvation was just for Israel. He says, I sent you for the nations to the ends of the earth. I assure you that everybody in Israel thinks that the ends of the earth is called South Carolina. Isaiah 60, verse 6, a multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. Hear this, they shall bring gold and frankincense. Isn't that a funny verse? It's not fair, right? The wise men had their shopping list written down for them in Isaiah 60. Isaiah 53:5, what did Jesus come to do? But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. In Isaiah 53:11, after the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life. He will be crucified. He will live. Isaiah said that 700 years before Jesus was born. Are there any other Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah? Well, I'm glad you asked. Genesis 3, verse 15, God says to Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Hear this. When we talk about human procreation, the woman isn't the seed, she's the egg, right? Why does it say the seed of the woman? No man involved, right? This is a prophecy of the virgin birth. Genesis 3, first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 22, God says to Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and offer him. The death of the only son. Exodus 34:28. So Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He ate neither bread nor drank water. How long was Jesus in the desert? 40 days and 40 nights. And in the special case of Psalm 22, you could preach a whole sermon on it. I'm not going to do that. But I want us to hear several verses from Psalm 22, 1,000 years before Jesus is born, depicting the crucifixion. You already know Psalm 22, verse 1. It goes like this. My God, why have you forsaken me? That's a little clue that something's coming in this psalm. Verse 8, the people standing around will say, he trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Verse 14, I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. Verse 15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. Think I thirst, right? Verse 16, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. 1,000 years B.C. Verse 18, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Specific, huh? Psalm 69, verse 21, for my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink. Hosea 11, verse 1, out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod wanted to kill Jesus, where did they go? Egypt. And where did they come back from? Egypt. Jonah 1, 17, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. How long was Christ in the grave? Where was Jesus born? Bethlehem, Micah 5, right? But you, Bethlehem, you are too little to be numbered among the clans of Judah, but from you shall come forth for me one who will be the ruler. I've always loved that when Herod asked the scholars, where will he be born? They went right to the scriptures and said, Micah 5, we know. If you knew, why didn't you worship, right? Jeremiah 31:15, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children because they are no more. The murder of the innocents, right? Zechariah 11:13, the lordly price which I was paid by them, 30 pieces of silver. How about that? 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah 13:7, strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Malachi 4:5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord. John again. That's a lot, isn't it? Genesis 3, we don't know how far back it is that that event took place, right? Genesis 22, that happened in 2000 BC. Exodus 34, 1400 BC. Psalm 22, 1000 BC. Hosea 11, 750 BC. Jonah 730 BC. Micah 5 and Isaiah 700 BC. Jeremiah 600 BC. Zechariah 500 BC. Malachi 400 BC, and you're thinking, I didn't know I was coming to church for a history lesson. Here's why I want you to know that. Skeptics about the biblical faith will say that predictive prophecy never happens, right? It's all fortune cookies and good guesses. And if it's specific, this is what they also say. They say there's some text that seems to predict a future event. That means the text wasn't written then, it was written later. Have you ever heard that shell game? The text wasn't written as far ago as we thought, it was written much later. Let me assure you of this, every verse I read is from the Old Testament, and we know beyond knowing that every book of the Old Testament was written before Jesus was born. Is there anyone that thinks a book from the Old Testament was written in the first century AD? No. We're in church tonight. I want you to leave sure. I want you to be certain of this Jesus. God said he would send a Savior, right? And in the Old Testament starts talking about it, and again, and again. And so I read them before, more or less in chronological order. I want to now talk about those things as a resume, right? Not the chronology of how they were written, but the chronology of his life. So think of this. It's Christmas Eve. We are looking for someone who will fulfill Old Testament prophecy. And if we take all those Old Testament verses and jumble them together, here's what we get. We are looking for someone who's going to be born in Bethlehem to a virgin, visited by distant travelers bearing gold and frankincense, who was feared by a tyrannical king who slaughtered all the boys of the region, who fled to Egypt but came back from Egypt, whose ministry is preceded by a man preaching in the desert, who was tested by Satan in the desert for 40 days, who heals the deaf and the blind, who is Jewish but will be followed by Gentiles, who will be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, whose followers abandon him when he's arrested, who dies by crucifixion, surrounded by people who mock him and gamble for his clothes, who give him gall and vinegar to drink, who's in the grave for 3 days, then rises again. Is that it? That's all you got, Pastor? Please be sure. We should ask this question. When we read that resume, we want to ask this, if not Jesus, then who? Right? Because that's what some people are saying. Jesus is not the Messiah. Okay. Who you got? Bring us names, right? But it is Jesus. Is it not? It's Jesus. Just this Jesus. He's the only one that fulfills all of those things. That Jesus, the Savior, has come for us. And he came for what his name said. What does his name mean? He will save his people from their sins. Amen.